morning once again.
Good morning, Brian.
This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 23. It reads, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Brothers and sisters, Satan wants to divert our worship away from Christ to himself. And Satan will use any means possible to achieve this. Now, right now, we're currently in the Halloween season, a season of deception, which could be fun dressing up and pretending to be someone or something, not ourselves. But for Satan, deception isn't his means for fun, but a means to eternal hell away from God. For Satan, deceiving is part of who he is. And he wants us to think on the things of men and not God. Ephesians 4:27 reads, "Nor give place to the devil." Basically stating, don't give the devil an opportunity. Because when you do, he will seize upon that and try to do damage to your life and also to your testimony. For a moment, Satan had seized upon Peter's lack of understanding, and Jesus had to rebuke him. So to get a better context of this sermon verse, let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 23. It reads, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" This passage marks a turning point in Jesus' ministry. His public ministry was about the heavenly kingdom and what the conditions are for entering it. Jesus taught as one having authority, unlike the scribes at that time. Jesus performed many miracles and captured the minds of many. But people at that time, and still to this day, hold different opinions about who Jesus is. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, once Jesus' own disciples confessed their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, his ministry started to shift to the death and resurrection of the Messiah. This was the main purpose of the Messiah. Jesus came to die for our sins, to stand in the sinner's place. And this passage marks the first of three occasions where Jesus predicted his death. Peter may have had a preconceived notion about the Messiah, like the majority of Jewish people at that time and still today, that the Messiah would come and rule and conquer as a great king. And that is true. But the first time he came was for our justification. The second coming is for our glorification. Our bodies will be resurrected in a glorified state. We will have a Christ-likeness. 1 John 3:2. 1 Peter 5:4 reads, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So again, Jesus' mission, his first advent, was to be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes the sins away from the world. Misunderstandings, no matter how subtle they can be, can lead one down the wrong path spiritually. And the devil wants to capitalize on that. So this morning's sermon is tailored around some of the devices of Satan Because my friend, whatever God creates, Satan seeks to destroy, including your hope in Christ. So I have two applications to present. First one echoes Jesus' very own words, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." And second one, be mindful of the things of God, not the things of men. First, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Satan is described as the father of lies. He walks around like a roaring lion seeking whomever he can devour. He is described as cunning and crafty. Satan, with his lies, deceived one-third of the angels in heaven. So friends, don't think that he won't deceive you. Because you know what? He's smarter than any one of us. 2 Corinthians 11:14 reads, "Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." He blinds the minds of unbelievers. So friends, we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, the more passionate you become reading God's Word, the more sensitive you become to God's ways, and also more knowledgeable to Satan's ways as well. And we know that deception is his main weapon of choice. Satan has a way of twisting what is good and making it bad, and vice versa. We can see that in this passage as Jesus predicts his death. And Satan, in a last-ditch effort, uses Peter to try to talk Jesus out of his foreseen death. That perhaps there is another way instead of the cross, which would give Satan victory. However, Jesus' death was necessary. God's redemptive plan involves his son Jesus to pay for the sins of mankind on the cross. The Old Testament law found in Leviticus 17:11 reads, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Colossians 1:20 reads, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Furthermore, it was prophesied hundreds of years earlier, before Jesus was on earth, about how the Messiah would suffer. So these God-ordained prophecies had to come true. Psalm 22:16-18 reads, "For the dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Again, Satan used Peter to try to change Jesus' mind about going to the cross, which took place on that Friday. A day in which Christians commemorated as Good Friday. We call that good because if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, for mankind's sins, then Satan would have victory and death would not be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:14 reads, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." This was part of God's redemptive plan. You know, it's a plan I find many men in different religions question. Why would God kill his own son? Hit a lot. Again, Satan is capitalizing on those doubts. And what's it doing? It's leading people away from Christ as the Messiah, as God. Remember, His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not His ways. Isaiah 5:20 reads, "Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Today we see Satan work in this world in that same manner. He's twisting what is bad and making it good, and vice versa. For example, subjects such as abortions taking place, even up until full term. We see pro-abortion politicians recently in Australia hugging and cheering each other on as they got this bill passed. Sadly, our country is in the same place. Another example is same-sex marriage. It's considered a good thing in today's society as well, even though this has broken what God ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman. Satan has this world so deceived that we are constantly turning our backs on God. We have a politician running for president right now that wants to rid churches of tax exemption. Any church that does this, that opposes same-sex marriage, get rid of their tax exemptions. Satan has this world so twisted that it is good for a man to want to become a woman and a woman wanting to become a man. And sadly, this is happening with children too. You know, a few years ago, Olympian Bruce Jenner, now known as Caitlyn Jenner, won the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. This is a very prestigious award presented annually to individuals whose contributions transcend sports. A brother in Christ, Tim Tebow, used to get ridiculed every single time he took a knee to praise God. Yet other athletes like Colin Kaepernick, who started the Take a Knee campaign, has been awarded the new face of Nike's Let's Do It campaign. Satan is conditioning the world to condone sin, taking what is good and making it bad, and what is bad, making it good. So friends, remain guarded through the Word. Through knowledge attained in the Bible, you can spot out Satan's lies. Not only spot them out, but defend against them. Defend your faith from that deception. You know, I recently saw an advertisement on TV not too long ago about a religious organization selling packets of miracle water. That if you purchase this packet of miracle water, good things, miracles are going to happen to you. And he had all these people testifying to that truth. This is a sad deception. But sadly, many people buy into it. Proverbs 21:6 reads, "Getting treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death." Many so-called Christians dabble in other satanic methods or means to obtain unattainable knowledge as well. Satanic things such as witchcraft, palm reading, seances, and even paying large amounts of money to go see spiritual mediums. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12, which reads, "Avoid wicked customs." It reads, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. The Bible is where you need to get your wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:25 reads, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." We need to make an effort daily to read it, to read His Word. It's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday. Hebrews 5 verses 13 through 14 read, "For everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Again, this is here for us to use it, to read it, to use it out into the world, to help fend against Satan's deception. Jesus describes Satan as the prince of this world, but bear in mind, Satan has nothing over the King of all eternity. So we have to stay focused on Christ and His Word. Second application is to be mindful of the things of God, not the things of men. Brothers and sisters, we are not to be misleading others with our walks and our faith. Now, we are all prone to sin. However, if your church behavior consistently doesn't match your home or work behavior, then you are deceiving yourself and others around you. This is a type of falsehood, a false Christian profession. Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." The Bible also serves as a mirror to examine ourselves in God's eyes. 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Peter, in this context of the sermon, serves as an example for all of us. Because we too can unintentionally become a spokesperson for Satan. We need to be mindful of the things of God, not the things of men. For example, when you're mad and you're stressed out, do you use the Lord's name in vain? That's what the world does. Do you do that as well? How do you think God feels about that? And you know that Satan loves it, because chances are many people are hearing it from your mouth. See, Satan will not only capitalize on your emotions, but on your spiritual knowledge as well. Satan, as cunning as he is, will twist scripture and doctrines from one meaning to the next. Our part as sowers of the seed of Christ, we need to be sure what we share with others is accurate, sound doctrine. The devil has people leading others down the wrong path that may seem right. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses, their New World Translation Bible takes away or adds to biblical scripture, distorting it to fit their view. For example, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is Jesus Christ, and a representation of His deity. However, in the New World Translation version, it's conformed to suit their beliefs that Jesus is a lesser God or merely just a man. So the verse is twisted to read, the word was a God, lowercase g, a God. That's Satan using people to deceive you, to turn you away from Christ. Deuteronomy 4:2 reads, "You shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you." So friends, this is just a small example of many deceptive ways that Satan uses to twist people's view about Jesus and about Christianity as a whole. Friends, be active in your learning. Be careful what you read. Be careful of what you share with others. For we are communicators of Christ, not Satan. Let's all go before the Lord. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for your word which lights our path. Your word that reveals truths. Your word that reveals who you are. We are so grateful and thankful. We are also glad that your word reveals Satan and his deceptive ways. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that's within us to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to defend off his ways, because he's coming for us. He's coming for us any way we can. I pray that we all, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we all remain heavenly minded. We all focus on the things of God and not the things of men. Because once we consider the things of men more than the ways of God, that's when Satan will use his weapon against us. That's when Satan will attack us. But thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your strength. You are the overcomer, and you can help us overcome any temptation that he throws at us. We thank you, Father, for the redemptive work of your Son. We thank you, Father, for accepting us into your fold. We thank you, Father, for your divine hand of protection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.